morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, all news that you can use on this Monday and every day. Oh, together on Monday already, September 7th, it's Labor Day. Trusting you had a fantastic weekend, a nice warm weekend, and I'm so excited. My daughter is here. Yes, she's visiting from Northwest Arkansas, and we're on a grand adventure enjoying the wonderful beauty of the Willamette Valley, and it's so fun to show her all the sights. And of course, I had to take her through, you know, the Stacy history of going to school at Judson and Shirley and Sprague High School and all that fun stuff. And so this week, I'm just, you know, if I seem a little more chipper than normal, which I don't know if that's possible, but yes, my daughter is here. My baby girl is here, and I'm a happy camper. So we're going to get into some fun things this morning, this Labor Day.
How's this for a strange idea? A day off from work in honor of work itself. Actually, that is what Labor Day, celebrated in the United States and Canada on the first Monday of every September, is all about. The first American Labor Day was celebrated in New York City on September 5th, 1882, as thousands of workers and their families came to Union Square for a day in the park. It was not a national holiday, but had been organized by a union to honor workers and their hard efforts with a rare day of rest halfway between July 4th and Thanksgiving. There were picnics and a parade, but there were also protests. The workers had gathered not just to rest and celebrate, but to demand fair wages, the end of child labor, and the right to organize into unions. During the period known as the Industrial Revolution, many jobs were difficult, dirty, and dangerous. People worked for 12 hours, 6 days a week, without fringe benefits such as vacations, health care, and pensions. And if you were young, chances are you were doing manual labor instead of your ABCs and fractions. Children as young as 10 worked in some of the most hazardous places, like coal mines or factories filled with boiling vats or dangerous machines. Trying to win better pay, shorter hours, and safer conditions, workers had begun to form labor unions in America and Canada. But the companies they worked for often fought hard to keep unions out and to suppress strikes. At times, this led to violent battles between workers and business owners, with the owners often backed up by the police or even the military. In the following years, the idea of Labor Day caught on in America, with official celebrations reaching 30 states. But then came the violent Haymarket Square riot of 1886, which led to the deaths of several policemen and workers in Chicago and the execution of four union leaders. After that, many labor and political groups around the world had begun to mark Haymarket Square on May 1st, which became known as International Workers' Day. In 1894, President Grover Cleveland signed the law making Labor Day a federal holiday in America, only days after he had sent 12,000 soldiers to end a violent railroad strike that resulted in the death of several people. The original September date was kept, partly to avoid the more radical associations of May 1st. Canada also created its Labor Day in 1894. But in spite of this new holiday, it would be a long time before the changes that workers wanted became a reality. In 1938, during the Great Depression that left millions without jobs, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed a law calling for an 8-hour workday, a 5-day work week, and an end to child labor, some of the first federal protections for American workers. As America and Canada celebrate Labor Day, most of the two countries' children enjoy a day off from school. But it is important to remember that there was a time that every day was a Labor Day for children in America and Canada. And unfortunately, the same fact remains true for millions of children around the world today.
Such a great video that reminds us our history of a Labor Day and our background on it. And I want to wish you a very happy Labor Day. And hopefully you can kick your feet up, have a little fun today, whatever you're doing. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We really are thankful for you, and we're thankful for our business partners who help us do what we do and support us. And I want to encourage you, if you're a business out there and you're wondering how to advertise right here on KSLM, we'd love to visit with you and show you how you can partner with us. And I'm telling you, we have faithful listeners who like to honor our businesses that advertise with us. If you're interested, be sure to let us know. You can send me an email, stacy@kslm.news. We're news that you can use. And I've got another bit of encouragement right here. Here's John Maxwell with Maxwell Minute reminding us, don't give up, don't quit. Listen to this.
Hi, John Maxwell here. On July 4th, my father passed away. And what I'm going to do is share with you a tribute to my dad. And it's the lessons that he taught me. He lived for 98 years and 8 months. Another one that dad taught me was that not to give up and not to give in. My father said, I have never known a successful man who quit his way to the top. I love that. And when I think of my father's perseverance, my father, as I've taught in another lesson, was very consistent. My father was very focused. As I just taught a moment ago, my father prioritized well. My dad had no quit in him. He didn't. What he set his mind to do, he stayed right on track. And it was something that I watched in him, and it's something that I admired, because what happened is, because he had no quit in him, I watched my father handle difficult days and adversity in a very successful way. And what that did for me is, when I began to be, as a leader, hit with the tough times, the one thing that never entered my mind was to quit. Maybe it entered my mind that I ought to create and find a better way. Maybe it entered my mind that I needed to have some people come alongside and help me so that we could maybe together get through a dark time. Maybe it entered my mind that I needed to ask some questions so that I could better be ready to stay in the game. But it never entered my mind to quit. Why? Because I never saw my father quit. I saw my father understand that at the end of the day, the person that wins is the one that stays in the game. Now, that had such an impression on me as a kid. Now, you have to go back to 1972, 73. Now, I'm pastor. I'm doing pretty well, and I'm still living out the lessons that Dad taught me and was teaching me at that time. And I'll never forget, I got into a real tough stretch at my congregation. And to be honest with you, it was wearing me out. And I, for the first time, what was I? I was 28. For the first time, I thought, maybe I ought to quit. Maybe I ought to just let this one go. And then I remembered my dad and his example. One of his favorite expressions is just keep on keeping on, son. Keep on keeping on. There was no quitting. Keep on keeping on. That's for sure. And so I can still remember the day in my office, I picked up the old thick Webster's dictionary. Now you can talk about, hey, those were the days. Hey, remember the days when you had encyclopedias? Remember the days we didn't have all this technology and all the wonderful advances we have today? So I took my old Webster dictionary. And I went to the Q section, and I got to the word quit. And I took my scissors, and I cut it out of the dictionary. I don't have that old dictionary today, obviously, but boy, I wish I did. In fact, I did. I'd bring show and tell, and I'd show you. Because at the age of what would have been the age of about 27, 28, I just cut the word out of the dictionary, and I just basically didn't even recognize it as a worthwhile word. Where did I get that? From my dad. He was a 100%er. No quit in him. When everybody else was kind of considering it, my dad was head on, game on, staying right with the task. That is a tremendous lesson that I have in my life today, because leadership gets very difficult, and there are times when you just say, wow, I'm worn out. Now, my father did teach me to take a break. He did teach me to rest. He did teach me that sometimes you got to back off enough to kind of refuel and re-nourish yourself. But there was no quit in him. I'm grateful for that lesson that he taught me.
Very good. John Maxwell, great reminder that, you know, no matter where we've been and whatever obstacles are in our way, it's kind of my message. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep pushing. Keep working towards that dream, that goal. And I'm so excited to introduce to you my brand new friend, Steve. He and I actually encountered one another at an adventure that I went to on the Women's Chamber event, Salem Women's Chamber event. And we were out and about, and he and I connected and had a chance to visit with him. And I'm so encouraged by him and his wife. And I have to tell you, Steve and Jen are great people. And I can tell that they are ones not to give up and not to give in. Good morning. Welcome to the morning show, Steve.
Good morning, Stacey Ann. Thank you for having me on.
What a great message from John Maxwell about not giving up, right?
Could not agree more. You know, that's really, I think, the kind of the time that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my favorite quotes by Eleanor Roosevelt is, you know, the future belongs to those who believe in the the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams.
Oh, I love that. So you're kind of a quote person too, and an inspirational person like I am.
Yes.
I get inspired by what where people have been and what they're doing. And I have to say, your story is inspiring to me. You have been working, and during the COVID, you were let go from your job, right? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, things happen in business, and it was a business decision, so mm-hmm. I completely understand that. You know, mm-hmm. it's you have to look at the you know, both what's going on in the business, the funds that are coming in and whatnot. And, you know, the decision was made, and I respected that. The company was a good company, and they did right by me, you know, on
mm-hmm.
the exit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it put a few things into reality.
Right.
You know, it put a few things into reality to where, you know, sometimes you have to take some audits to your personal self and realize that if you want to be a certain place in life, if you want to go to that certain spot, you have to take the reins.
Mm.
You can't rely on other people sometimes to do that.
That's so very true. And so with this time that we're living in, it's kind of an opportunity for a reset and a refocus, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you're seeing it day in and day out. You know, people are having to come up with creative ideas to, you know, support their families, support their dreams, and support their community. And, you know, I think out of those times is when some of the greatest ideas come out, because you have to think outside the box.
Oh, I agree with you on that. And when we come back from this break, let's get into it. Let's dive in a little deeper in this conversation. That sound good?
Look forward to it.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together on this Labor Day. And I want to so thank our sponsor, Bill Sunderland with Country Financial Sunderland Agency. Thank you so much, Bill, for sponsoring our morning show, and happy Labor Day to you. And I want to encourage our listeners, if you need insurance and you're looking for someone to help you even with, you know, your savings and financial future, Bill is the guy to go to. Certainly, it's who Terry and I trust. Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency. Give him a call, 503-885-0789. And talking about Labor Day today, here's some interesting news that came into my email. I thought you'd be interested by this. 12 protesters died in Chicago. Unrest was seizing the nation. Wages were cut. Union representatives fired to keep a beleaguered workforce in line. People feared the world their children were growing up in. This year was 1894. Smack in the middle of the Second Industrial Revolution, the Depression of 1893 put America on edge and pitted neighbor against neighbor. It was a breaking point that led to a major breakthrough. After the Chicago riots, Congress passed a law declaring Labor Day a federal holiday. Labor Day may now be a time to break away from work, celebrate the end of summer, and put those white pants up on the high shelf, right? No more white after Labor Day. But the break we enjoy came after a huge breakthrough for working people everywhere. The advent of the five-day work week, child labor laws, and safe working conditions are a direct result of a thankless drive for change taken on by everyday people. The specific circumstances may be different today, but the struggle we face are just as real. Many parents fear the future of their children than that what they will inherit. The economy is struggling. People are out of work. Neighbors are quick to blame the nation's troubles on each other. We need a breakthrough. And so as we celebrate this Labor Day today, I thought, man, that was a word in season for you and I. And bringing in the studio my friend Steve, he and I met actually out on an adventure. You know, I look for treasure everywhere I go, and not so much in stuff, but in people. And Steve, you and Jen are definitely treasure. We enjoyed last week. We got to go to dinner with Terry and I went to dinner with you all, and we just so enjoyed our time with you. And tell us a little bit about your family. You have children.
I do. Yeah, I've got four daughters. They definitely keep me busy on our what we call our little funny farm out in Jefferson. Ranging from 18, she's an amazing young woman. Got an incredible future ahead of herself. Mm-hmm. Really wants to get into mental health and kind of helping people through that. But she's also got an amazing heart when it comes to agriculture and FFA and stuff like that. Got a 15-year-old that is a highly accomplished violinist. That's one I call my artsy kid. They're all artsy, but she's definitely going somewhere with that violin. And then we've got two incredible twins.
Wow.
And they're 12 years old.
So you are on your adventure every single day when you wake up. You're like, how do I keep going forward? And you've got this motivation of your family to take care of, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, I feel in society, you know, we kind of lose sight that our kids are watching everything that we do.
That's so true.
And they're watching how we navigate through hard times and how we, you know, how we persevere and keep moving forward. And, you know, that's really one of the biggest inspirations for me of you know, going after these new ventures and these new adventures that I'm, you know, seeking out is giving them an incredible representative of, you know, okay, look, this was hit and look at what dad did with it.
Right.
You know, and giving them that example of, you know, both from a dad and both from a, you know, a male perspective of, you know, how to go forward and carry that flag and be that example for your kids.
Oh, and in this day and age, you know, I think we feel like we want to do so much more for our kids than we had done for us, in a sense. And maybe that's kind of why we have these 18 to 24-year-olds that are out kind of looking for identity, kind of out there looking for a cause, and maybe not doing such good things with the protests and the riots and things like that. They're looking for a cause to get behind, don't you think? And so I think these kids, maybe they had everything handed to them, perhaps, and they haven't really had to struggle, perhaps. I don't know. I don't know why these kids are doing what they're doing. But I love the fact that our kids, when we show them the struggles we have, how we've overcome them, and we let them peek into our adult lives, and we're it's okay to say, you know what, I've messed up.
Oh yeah.
Or I made a bad decision. These kids need to see reality up close at an earlier age, rather than protect them and try to do way too much for them.
Mm-hmm.
They need to, in a sense, it's kind of like a cocoon. You know, when that caterpillar is breaking out of the cocoon and turns into the butterfly, they get the strength and the muscles to fly.
Yeah.
And if we do it for them or protect them, we in a sense, are doing more harm with these kids. And I have a huge burden for these 18 to 24-year-olds that are just out there. And most of them that I know and interacted with that are protesting or rioting, quote unquote, they don't even know why.
Mm-hmm.
They just hold on to these little little sayings or whatever. And so I commend you and Jen for really getting involved with your kids, with what you're doing with your animals and your farm, and showing them what the grand adventure in life is all about.
Absolutely. And it's all about being transparent with them. You know, these kids are incredibly, incredibly in tune to what's going on in their households.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm reminded about a couple weeks ago, one of our younger ones, Molly, she, you know, when I was going through making all this business plan stuff, and I was, you know, putting in 12-hour days sitting at my home office computer,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we weren't really telling them what I was doing during
right.
that time.
Right.
But then just a couple of days ago, you know, we share to the family and to the kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, this is the adventure that I'm working on, stuff like that. And Molly turns to the rest of the siblings and says, see, I told you what he was doing.
Oh.
And it's like they see this stuff,
mm-hmm.
whether you want them to or not.
Right.
And they see how you handle it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a big motivation for me.
Well, and they often say children and pets are a good gauge of people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Their intuition is pretty, pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And your kids knew you were up to something, right?
Oh, my gosh, they did. Yeah.
Smart kids just like their parents. And so when you talk about building a business plan, we talked in the first segment that you kind of had this reset because you were let go from this business that you poured your heart into. And you see it. It makes sense. It doesn't feel good, though, because you've given your blood, sweat, and tears to a project. But that's preparation for something else. And you're now designing and feeling called to a dream, which we're not going to really elaborate too much in this show. But I promised you in the future we're going to talk more about this. We've got to get to a break. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday, Labor Day, and every day. We'll be back.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning, Salem. Oh, what a great day it is indeed. Welcome to your Labor Day. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Monday and every day. And we've kind of been digging into a little bit about Labor Day. And of course, if you heard the first segment about John Maxwell and looking for good in others. And then the second segment, we talked a little bit about Labor Day and the origins of it. Well, did you know in Oregon, we were the first state to celebrate Labor Day as a legal holiday? Yes, indeed, 1887. The decision to make Labor Day the first Monday of September was approved June 28, 1894. And of course, the Labor Day started as a labor union movement to recognize the contributions of men and women in the U.S. workforce. But modernly, it's seen as a chance to celebrate the last weekend of summer and also take a brain break, right? And transition and not wear any more white after Labor Day and all of those kinds of things. But Americans worked 12-hour days, 7 days a week during the 19th century. And this was like starting to establish some guidelines. And so that's good. Some history on Labor Day. In the studio with me, I have brought my new friends, Steve and Jen. They're from the Jefferson area, and they have a beautiful family of four daughters and a little family farm. And I was so inspired by Steve's story. You know, during COVID, so many friends and family have been upended in their jobs. They've had a transition, certainly even how our kids are being educated. So many things that we thought and took advantage of, or not advantage necessarily, but just said, this is how it is. This is life as we know it has been upended, and routines totally disorganized. And I just love the perspective that Steve and Jen have, and that they're going to get through this time and they're going to be better for it. And Steve, you have an idea that has been birthed in you from years past. It's just been progressive, right? Mm-hmm. And progressing. And this, when you found out that you were laid off, you didn't have your job anymore, you could have just went and had a pity party easily, and everybody would have joined you in that and said, yes, you rightly so. But instead, you did something different. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, it goes back to, you know, really wanting to set an example for my kids,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, they're going to be faced with a lot of challenges in life,
mm-hmm.
you know, good, bad, you know, all different types of different circumstances that they're going to have to face. And I wanted to give them an example of, you know, look at the positives in the situation. Look at, you know, look at the future and look at what you can do in yourself, you know, get some better education for yourself, learn a few things, put yourself out there and speak those dreams as if they were real. And you'd be amazed by the doors that can open from that one perspective right there. So.
It's so true. And oftentimes in my life coaching and my coaching, my business entrepreneur coaching, I say, start with the end in mind and work backwards mm-hmm. to build that project and what it is that you're wanting to accomplish. When you look 5 years down the road, or you start with the end in mind, where do you see yourself?
Well, you know, in order to see the future, you know, I like to go backwards into the past for a moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, I love the agricultural world. I grew up in big, big cities down in California and San mm-hmm. Francisco, Sacramento. So I really never got to experience that until my adult years.
Mm-hmm.
Fell in love with the wine industry when I moved up here to Oregon back in 2005. And I actually ended up going back to school. I wanted to learn about it. And so mm-hmm. I went out to Chemeketa and went through some of their programs and their vineyard management and marketing programs, and just fell in love with the people of the industry. Mm. Stopped doing that. I got out of school and went directly into what I thought was an amazing career right from the get-go out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working for Willamette Valley Vineyards. And
oh,
everybody knows that place.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
up
knows that place.
Hill.
Yep, up on the hill. Started working in their tasting room in McMinnville for a few months, and kind of started making a name for myself with the stories and mm-hmm. how I kind of presented the company. And my now dear friend and mentor, Jim Bruneau, called me up one day and said, Steve, I need you out at the main estate. I want you out here. I want you telling these stories and doing this up here. Did that for a little bit, and really kind of followed him and looked towards him as some really cool leadership and mentoring and how he presented himself in the stories. And got presented with another amazing opportunity to be part of a startup
mm-hmm.
in a very medically minded cannabis company.
Mm.
And something else I also believe in quite well. And from there, you know, I was like, okay, well, how could we bring, you know, the education and the lifestyle of the wine industry mm-hmm. into a better light for some of these CBD consumers that, you know, mm-hmm. they're still scared to say, hey, I like to use CBD cream because my bones hurt.
Right.
How could we break that stigma? How could we bring these two kind of worlds together? And, you know, it started back when I was at the winery. I was like, how could we do this?
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened, you know, that within the last 45 days, you know, the brand has been built and, you know, there's a lot of amazing eyes on it now. And it's been a little overwhelming, but in a really cool way to kind of see this blossom out of just literally a word and a dream.
Well, I know from my work and the business that I have, my home-based business on the side that I have, one of the things they said when this reset hit, the COVID, that in the Great Depression, the things that prospered were cosmetics and alcohol and tobacco.
Isn't
and
that
now,
the truth?
Now we know that certainly in a lot of areas essential. The cannabis area and the alcohol industry here and the wine industry has not really been bumped. Where it's hurt is like the bars and those things that have public service. But certainly it's something that hasn't diminished. I know a lot of the wineries, maybe they're not having their tasting rooms as much as they used to and the tourists through, but they're still having orders and they're still. So I do think that there is an opportunity here. I think it's very, very smart and out of the box what you're doing.
Well, you know, that's I think the time is now for something like this to happen. And I look at the two industries as separates. And, you know, I'm kind of blown away by this has not happened before. And so, you know, I believe that the time is now to kind of bring these two worlds together. And I think, and from what I've been told by a lot of industry experts, I think that the plan that we've come up with is the right way to do it.
The beautiful thing about being an entrepreneur and casting that net and what I see you developing and I see in you, and again, it kind of goes back to looking for the good in people and bringing out and calling it to greatness, is that you have this willingness to roll up your sleeves and go out and find like-minded people who will line up with you in your vision and your dream. And it's not just Steve and Jen's dream. It's a dream that could change things for many, many years to come within this community. And I love that. And the good that you want to do from that is pretty phenomenal. And so you're kind of at that point where you've got your vision, you've got it down in writing, and now you're casting the vision before other people, right? Potentially investors, things like that. And so it sounds like you're having a lot of fun at it.
Oh gosh. It's not, I don't even consider it work. I get up every morning. I've gotten up earlier every morning because of the motivation for this. And I kind of start the day running and start reaching out to people, networking. That's, you know, one of my favorite things to do is network and shake hands and learn other people's stories and, you know, and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
So where do you gain your strength from? Where do you find your inspiration?
Well, you know, my family is a big one. And, you know, you'll hear me say that a lot. And you have heard me say that a lot.
Yep.
It's those people in my life are the ones that really push me to be better. You know, I grew up, you know, being raised by a single mom on government assistance. She is an amazing woman. And she did literally God's work being a single mom for a son. But, you know, I want to be able to give my kids, and I know the story is told all the time. I want to be able to give my kids the life that I didn't have growing up. And, they're my reason to go.
And the beautiful thing about what I'm watching and what I'm learning from you and Jen is you want to do for your kids, but you're calling them up to do their part too and to learn to do for themselves as well, equal, not just do for them and not have them have the strain of life. You know, we talked about this in an earlier segment about having them see the transparency of the ups and downs and overs and arounds. And it's really pretty cool because then your kids are going to go, and I know this to be true with my family. Raised here in Oregon, my dad went through a recession. He owned a company here, the ups and downs. And the way he grew and his strength through that adds to my story.
Yeah.
And I am where I'm at today because what I watched my dad walk through, and to see them in their later years in enjoying, you know, a debt-free lifestyle and the sacrifices they made, and it was tough. It wasn't easy. But because of that, I am where I'm at today. And that's what you're building in your children too. That's so encouraging. So encouraging. So speaking of kids and the time that we have remaining, what is your plan for school this fall?
Yeah, so our kitchen has now been converted, or it's in the process of being converted into a classroom.
Okay.
You know, the Cascade School District in which we're in, they're amazing. They've come up with some really outside thinking on this whole distance learning stuff. And so, we're converting kind of a corner in the kitchen, setting up a couple desks. We've got the laptops. You know, they'll each have their own time in there and stuff like that. And then the oldest one, she's going off to college.
Woo! Starting, that's such an exciting time, too.
Yeah, and so she's starting that this fall. Actually, gosh dang, in a couple weeks
right now.
And so we're really excited for her. And like I said, you know, they're great kids, and they all got great futures ahead of them.
My hat's off to you and Jen for turning your kitchen into the school classroom. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're having a wonderful discussion about life up close on this Labor Day. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem. Hello. I'm Stacey Ann, and we're together on this fantastic Labor Day Monday. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, it's such a great day, and I'm excited. I have my friend Steve in the studio with me, and on this Labor Day, we're talking about kind of a refocus, reset. We know so many of our friends and family have been impacted by working differently, and here we are on Labor Day, so we're talking about labor and working, and maybe you or someone you know close to you has had a reset in that they've been laid off, furloughed, or maybe their job has just been discontinued, whatever it is. I think, and Steve and I have been talking all morning long about how this is an opportunity to get creative. And you know, if you're someone out there who has an idea and you're like, I have this idea or this invention or this is really what I'm passionate about and I wish I could work at doing that, and you're not sure what to do next, I'm going to encourage you to look into that. You know, what would you say, Steve, to folks like that? Who spoke in your life to say, hey, Go after your dreams, you know?
Yeah. No, I give a lot of credit to my brother Mark out in Texas. You know, right after I received that news, we had probably 2 or 3 hour phone call one night. And I remember him, a statement that he said that just kind of really stuck with me. And he said, Steve, man, if you can't influence or control a situation, it's not worth putting your energy into.
Mm.
And so I just encourage people, like, look, you know, if you're going through some rough time, you know, like you said, the layoffs and stuff like that, you know, don't put all your energy into the worrying side, because you can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened.
Mm-hmm.
What you can change is what's going to happen tomorrow,
right,
and the next week, and
right,
the next month. And so put your energy into those things. Put your energy into the things you can actually control and influence. And, you know, don't look at the stuff that's in the past.
Well, and I think that's such wise words, because I know just the difference between men and women when they're going through a crisis. We process that differently. And what I know to be true from my background and my work in crisis care and life coaching and counseling, I know that men are doers. They get their reward by going physically and doing something and seeing results. Where women, we're such multitaskers. We have our hands in a lot of things at once. And yes, some of us, we like to see that gratification of that immediate result. But even raising kids, you don't ever arrive there, because you're always the mom, right? Mm-hmm. And so we process things differently. And for men, with the burden of a family, that's a huge burden. For women, they need the security in knowing that all is going to be well and taken care of, so that they can do their part. And so it takes a team like you and Jen to come to a consensus and to take that next step and say, yes, we're going to embrace this dream and go for it. And what a better time, right?
Yeah.
It's like set up. Yes, it's scary, but it sounds like you're using that fear to work for you in a way that, if I don't do it now, when will I do it? Is that kind of where you guys are
exactly
at?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it's refocusing the energy,
mm-hmm,
on stuff that I can influence and stuff that I can control, and just doing that with a positive outlook.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And people like to be around positive people.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You're drawn, you want to spend time with, and you want to be that light in other people's lives. So if you are listening today and you know somebody who is struggling, you know, and they just need encouragement and they've been on your heart and you haven't reached out to them. Maybe they need you to listen to their dream and maybe you just can inspire them somehow. What should they say to that person?
You know, I go back to what I said in our first segment, that statement from Eleanor Roosevelt, who said, you know, I really want to go back to that statement that I said in the first segment about Eleanor Roosevelt. And she said, you know, the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams.
Mm.
Don't give up on those.
Right.
You know, this whole adventure that I'm on right now has been a dream of mine for going on 10 years. And it was just never the right timing. And, you know, and when you allow things to go the way that they're supposed to go in the right timing, just doors just open up wide open.
Oh, yeah. It's effortless almost.
Yeah. So
you almost
just
feel guilty.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
almost feel guilty. There is something really cool developing within you, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You know, usually people would be faced with, you know, unsureness and fear and, you know, not knowing what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not going to lie. Those all happen for a brief minute. But then, you know, about 2 days after that, both my wife and I, we woke up with this incredible sense of calm.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, where is this coming from?
Right.
You know, and it was like almost from that day forward, every door that was supposed to be opened has
mm-hmm.
been opened.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't explain it.
Right.
It just happened to be happening in that way.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's really neat to sit back and witness when something at better power is working in this in
yes.
this situation for you, right?
Yes.
So it's been fun.
It's a grand opportunity to put your faith out there. And I know from my Christian worldview and my studies, you know, I love the saying, faith as a mustard seed can move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are coming across something in our life, a big obstacle or a big door that seems that won't budge open, and we put our little tiny faith to it, big things happen. And you're seeing that happen.
Big things, yeah.
Day in and day out. And it's like, whoa, this is almost easier, right? And,
yeah.
And when you have momentum going for you, that makes a big difference too. You mentioned moving here from California. And, you know, I, as a kid, we moved up from California. I lived there the first 10 years of my life and then finished high school here. Talk about if I was an outsider, not from Oregon, sell me on Oregon. What would you tell somebody from like I have people from Arkansas listening. We
mm-hmm.
have people from Texas listening and people from South Dakota. What would you tell them about this particular area, the Willamette Valley of Oregon?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's just the community. You know, down in California, living in Sacramento in a big city, I didn't know my next door neighbor. You know, it was a wave high type thing. And, you know, now it's like my neighbors, I consider one of them, you know, my brother from another mother and,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. It's the community up here. It just seems to be a lot more inviting.
Yeah.
And if you're an outdoorsman or an outdoorswoman and like, you know, the outdoors up here, Oregon is probably one of the best states to experience that. Anywhere from the Willamette Valley over to Bend and, you know, you want to go over to Central, it's amazing landscape, and you know, it's a fun state to live in.
And the ocean, I'm so drawn to the ocean, and of course, it's not the beach. I was explaining this to my stepdaughter the other day. It's not the beach; it's the coast.
Yeah.
And so you know, you wear shorts and flip flops and a sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah.
And a ball cap because it might be windy. Great place to fly a kite. Maybe wade a little bit in the water, but you're not going to necessarily swim. If you surf, you're going to wear a bodysuit, right? To
oh, yeah.
stay warm.
Yeah, these waters are not your typical. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. It's not a beach going type
mm-hmm.
of thing. It's the coast.
And then let's circle back around to the richness of the Willamette Valley.
Yeah.
And it seems like the last 20 years of the 30 years that I've been gone, this is where the vineyards have popped up. And it's because of the beautiful soil.
Yep.
And it's also now a large group of people are raising hemp. Medicinal hemp and practical hemp for our day-to-day living, which is a whole nother day. Let's have a discussion because I know you could educate us on cannabis and hemp and all of that. And that aspect of it. I sure appreciate you coming in today and having a wonderful conversation.
Stacey Ann, this has been such a delight. I appreciate your time. Yeah,
it was
fun.
No accident that we bumped into each other a couple weeks ago, huh?
No. And we've been having fun getting to know each other ever since. So
yes.
Thank you
for being a part of the morning show, and let's do this again real soon.
We'll enjoy it.
All right. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Labor Day and every day. Looking forward to talking to you again tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you and I are overcomers. Have a blessed day.